Welcome to the Vibes Podcast, your one-stop shop for all the latest tech news.
Hello and welcome to the Vibes Podcast. It's been a while, but this podcast is going to be special because I have a new co-host. He's going to be joining me once in a while. Introduce yourself.
Hey everyone, I'm Ben, and I'm just as much as a tech lover as Snoop is here. So I'm sure there's some interesting topics we can cover today.
Yeah, most certainly. And we're going to kick it off with the first thing, which is the UK cracking down on sales of fraudulent anti-5G USB sticks. Ben, what do you think about this? Like 5G blocking USB sticks?
I've not heard much about this, to be honest. It'd be interesting to see what the article's about. I haven't heard much about this.
Well, I will fill you in. So what it is that people are selling anti-5G USB sticks for £200, £300. And the whole idea is you plug it in, it blocks 5G and therefore blocks coronavirus. I mean, how crazy is that?
So it's like a signal jammer of some sorts, just for the 5G signal.
Yeah, but it's fake. Doesn't even exist. And people are paying well over £250, £300. I'm sure they're doing something similar in the US, but they're just ordinary USB sticks that just have normal storage. So storage really crazy. Drives. Yeah, just normal storage drives that people are selling as being anti-5G sticks. But apparently it's been selling quite a lot and people are making a lot of money out of this.
Wow. I wonder if there'll be any repercussions. And how much did you say they were selling for?
Well, for what I've seen online, I've seen £283 for one stick and for three, £795.
Wow. I wonder if you pay an extra, I don't know, maybe a £10 on top of that, like an add-on feature, if you get a free tinfoil hat, maybe.
maybe. So crazy thing to kick off with there. Next thing, Sony gaming. We're both avid gamers. Sony are requiring all their developers to make games now on to be compatible with the PlayStation 5. Good news, bad news, Ben. How do you feel about that?
That's brilliant. I wonder if it will be, because like the PS4 and the Xbox One, right? They made quite a big catalogue of the older games compatible with the newer gen. I wonder if they'll go further back than the PS4, or will it be going from the PS4 onwards, do you think?
It will be interesting to see. I mean, the backwards compatibility is still up in the air. I think Xbox has the upper hand because they can go all the way from the original Xbox to now. I mean, you can't play PlayStation 2 games unless you buy it again on the PlayStation 4, which annoys me a little bit. I don't want to be doing that. But, I mean, why don't they just say all PS4 games work on a PS5?
Yeah, it would be a lot simpler that way.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know, so definitely a strange move, but they're telling, so any new games that come out from now on, it will work on the PlayStation 5. So interesting to see that news and kicking up. And
that's good news for the Last of Us fans, actually.
Yes, it will be.
I'm a huge fan, so that's good news for me.
Yeah. Will you be picking up the PlayStation 5 when it's out?
Not immediately. I'm quite... an avid PC gamer, so I don't see there to be an immediate need. If there are, I mean, Sony are always good with their exclusives. So eventually, yes, I'm a big fan of Sony's exclusives. So eventually, I will get one. But it's just a matter of time, I think.
Nice. Stadia, I have Stadia. Stadia Pro fans. For anybody who has Stadia out there, I don't know anybody who's actually said that they've got it. 6 new games will be available in June. I'm definitely feeling as though I'm getting my money back because I'm getting free games every month. And it works well. It was a little bit hit and miss today. I tried it earlier on this morning, a bit jittery. Ben, your view in Stadia, have you had a chance to see it? Have you played it? What are your thoughts on it?
I've seen you yourself use it, but I've not actually experienced it myself yet. I should give it a go because there is a free trial, right? There is a free tier. Just like with most of these, what category would you put them in? Cloud gaming?
Cloud gaming, right?
Well, like most of these cloud gaming services, they do offer a free tier with waiting times and limits on how long you can play for and all that stuff. Like I'm sure Nvidia's Shield, is it Shield, their version?
It is Shield, yeah. They are having a bit of a rough spot because a lot of the games are coming off their platform. I'm hoping that games will come back, but yeah, I still think Xbox is going to win that competition because they're saying it's going to be part of the Xbox subscription pack, the Xbox Ultimate Game Pass. You'll get our streaming functionality. So let's see what happens. Interesting. On the business front, Zoom are planning to offer stronger encryption to customers that actually pay. So they're saying if you've got a free Zoom account, it won't be as secure. I mean, we kind of expected that. Would it force users to upgrade Zoom? Would you upgrade Zoom if you had it yourself personally?
No. If I was a personal non-business user, especially amid all of the recent kind of mishaps they've had, I wouldn't be using. But that's me as a technology enthusiast. I mean, I think the average person would still use it. I don't think the average person will pay. There are so many other apps, free apps out there that do similar things. So I don't think the average user will pay at all.
Yeah, but it's good to see that Zoom are taking encryption seriously, especially when it comes to businesses. I know that it's grown quite a lot. You and I both work in an organization where they've really used Zoom and it's really picked up. So, but if any of you have a free account out there and listening in, that's something that you gotta have a look into.
Definitely.
Now, Apple, they've been a little bit hit and miss recently these past couple of months. I've been saying it many times. Sign in with Apple Floor lets attackers take over accounts. I know that they've managed to plug this in, but quite scary to see that a new functionality that Apple say that your accounts are secure isn't as secure.
Yeah. It seems to happen quite frequently with Apple, unfortunately. They boast a lot of security. And I mean, their security standards are pretty good. But every now and again, they have this slip up with security. Seems to happen a few times in the last couple of years. But I was aware of this, but not too much. Not too much of the detail, to be honest.
Yeah, yes.
Not much more.
Yeah, so they're saying that they had a bug bounty, someone to have a look into a flaw, see if they can find any holes. A lot of companies do that. They kind of pay people to say, can you hack our systems? And this particular person found quite a nasty flaw that let attackers take over certain accounts. The issue here is they've had sign-in with Apple since last year. So from last year to this year, has it been compromised in any way? Surprised it's taken them this long to consider getting that checked. Yeah, I mean, you would have thought before they rolled it out, they would have really scrutinized and tested it. But it's good to know that it's been fixed. I've actually not used signed in with Apple. I know you can sign in with Facebook or Google. Apple's the other alternative. You begin to see it pop up in certain websites. The idea is good. Do you know about the idea behind it all?
I mean, I'm certain for a few application sites and whatnot, I do use sign in with Apple. Not for everything. I don't believe in putting everything in one place, but for a few sites, definitely. For a few sites and applications, I definitely do use that. Yeah.
Cool. And how has your experience been with it?
Very nice. It's easy, but it also gives you, I would imagine the average user getting pretty lazy of it and just having this whole issue of passwords, not knowing what to sign in with when you're not on an Apple device. And yeah, I can imagine it causes pain for a lot of people, but it is seamless.
Very cool. Well done. Cool. A new Samsung Galaxy Watch has been spotted by the FCC. It's supposed to be smaller in size, slimmer as well. We have the Apple Watches, but you know, if Samsung made a Galaxy Watch that's smaller and slimmer, is this something that you would look into getting if you ever had an Android device?
Yeah, I mean, I did have an app before my iPhone 11. I did have a Huawei, and paired with that, I did have a Samsung Galaxy Watch. I believe it's the 42mm. Even that's a pretty big size for a watch, the standard watch, but it didn't feel big. And it was the best Android-based smartwatch I'd used. I'll definitely be looking into what they're producing next. I tried a whole manner of Android smartwatches and none came close to the Samsung Watch. The Samsung Watch was the closest to an Apple Watch, I would say. Closest to an Apple Watch in terms of an Android alternative, without a doubt. Pretty good.
Okay. Interesting. I know there's a lot of people that are interested to move away from Apple. The one thing that stops them is a watch. So, and I will be one of them. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking to move on to the Android platform completely. And the only thing that stops me from moving over is the watch.
Yeah.
Because I think the watch is top class by Apple. But yeah, let's watch this space. Let's see what happens on that front. For the US, T-Mobile offering 5G in all 50 states through a roaming deal. The US has really gravitated towards 5G. It definitely is covering loads of areas. I mean, it's still very early days for 5G. Ben, have you seen it in action? Have you played around with it? Like, what is your view on 5G?
I've not managed to touch it yet. I've not managed to actually experience it myself. I've seen people use this insanely fast, obviously. But from my understanding, US were pretty slow to pick this up, right? They're pretty late to the party.
Yeah, they are pretty late to the party, but their coverage seems to be a lot more than what we could say in the UK that we've got compared to other places. It's definitely something that they're pushing towards. I mean, obviously, there are rumors of the next iPhone having 5G. I guess that will push it further to get people on board. But I'm very much looking forward to 5G just to download things quicker, stream things quicker, being a gamer, stream games flawlessly. So, yeah, definitely watch this space. I've got a 5G phone. It works okay here and there. But yeah, let's see how that goes. Sorry about that. That's my dog in the background. Now, Alexa devices working like an intercom. Ben, listening devices, hearing what you're saying. What is your view on that?
Yeah, I mean, years ago now, when I first got my my Echo, I think I started out with the standard Echo. I was pretty creeped out by the drop-in feature. I won't lie, it happened to me. I wasn't notified that it was enabled in any way. I just kind of was trawling through the app and discovered it, and was really creeped out when someone did it to me, a family member actually. So that got disabled instantly. And just always, devices always listening. I'm sure people are becoming more and more aware. Targeted ads, all those kinds of things. I'm not a big fan. I'm really not. I'm all for the smart home, but I'm all for the smart home that can be disabled when I want it to be disabled, you know, not always listening.
Okay. But the feature for anybody listening out there is basically, you might be out in the shops, you want to ask anybody if they want any groceries and stuff. You can drop into all of your speakers at the same time, because at the moment it's just one-to-one. So you kind of broadcast a message to the entire household and say, hey, do you need anything from the shops? And then somebody can then obviously talk back. I will definitely give it a go when it's updated mine. I do use the drop-in feature whenever I'm late coming home, for example. But yeah, let's see how that goes. But definitely more things listening in is quite a scary thing. Lenovo are bringing Linux to its P series ThinkPads and ThinkStations. Linux definitely gaining traction here.
That's a big move.
Yeah, that is a big move. I mean, I know that Windows are looking to have more of a Linuxy stuff to it as well. So it seems like Linux is definitely picking up, aren't they, at the moment? So
certain type of markets for sure. Yeah, for sure.
And that will be interesting. Now, for me, my first ever video game on a Commodore Amiga that I enjoyed the most, racing game, was Days of Thunder. I loved the game. It was I didn't really understand the whole concept of qualification and racing. I was too young when I was playing it, but they've managed to reconstruct the game from floppy disks that you can play on a PC. I'm very much looking forward to playing this classical game. I'm sure you haven't played it, Ben, because this is way before your time. But yeah, recreated from 30-year-old floppy disks. How crazy is that?
That is pretty insane.
Yeah, so very much looking forward to that. This is really weird. I thought it was already on the Apple TV, but Peloton workout apps have now come to Apple TV.
Big hit in the Corona times.
Peloton. Oh yeah, definitely working
Everyone
from home.
Yeah.
Have you been working out at home yourself?
I've been working out, but just sporadic kind of makeshift, putting together all routines from my knowledge of going to the gym over the years. But honestly, nothing consistent, and I am so eager to get back in the gym. I cannot wait.
But it's still not bad. I mean, a lot of people are using Peloton. They're really enjoying it. And the fact that you can do it from home, it's really cool. Like, you could do some stretches, you could do some workouts, and it's definitely an industry that's picking up. It does have a subscription. So the question here is, you know, are people going to still use this after lockdown has ended? Will they still have their customer base? Will gyms lose out? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens afterwards and to see who actually stays onto the format. Apple News Plus, I use it. They're going to feature an audio version of Stories soon, so you can listen to the news in a future release of iOS. So if you're on your phone, would you rather listen to the news than read it, Ben?
It really depends on the scenario. Commuting, yes. Commuting, for sure. I'm a big user of the Apple News app, so this is definitely exciting. Just whether it's a good feature or not, it'd be good to test.
Cool.
If I use it permanently, it'd be nice to test that out, especially in times like when you're commuting and whatnot. I think that'd be pretty helpful. Depends when it also comes to whether you can do that offline too.
Yeah, offline listening, that's definitely interesting. That's a very good point. I didn't think of that. So yeah, would it download overnight like a podcast on? That will be interesting to see. So New York, obviously we have contactless payment in the London subway system. Underground is what we call it here. They're looking to do the same thing for New York. It's been delayed until December. I mean, how's your experience been with contactless travel on subways or undergrounds yourself? Big fan of it? Like it? Does it cause issues?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine traveling, getting through London without contactless payments now. Like myself, quite a few people have fallen into the trap of using a card from your wallet, a debit card, for example, and then using that same card on Apple Pay or Android Pay, thinking that, you know, it's the same card, but no, Apple Pay and Android Pay generate card numbers. So you're doing like a double fee there. You're not tapping out. I wonder how that will work with the Americans, and how the New Yorkers, how they'll, I know it won't be the same system, but I'd imagine people will still start using their Apple Pay and Android Pay. And it'd be interesting to see how it works over there. Because here you can get double charged if you use different cards.
I had no idea. I literally had no idea that if you used your debit card and then use your debit card again in your phone, it's a different transaction.
Yeah.
That is something new to me.
I was doing it for about a whole month commuting to work. I was using whatever was easier. If it was a big queue, you know, if I had my phone in my hand already, I would tap in with my phone, and on the way out, if there's a big queue, I could reach for my wallet. I would use the same card that I've got tied to my Apple Pay and tap out, thinking that it would recognize it's the same card. But no, I had to call the London Transport Services and get, like, I think it was around £200-300 in refunds.
Wow.
I had all of these unfinished journeys. Yeah. And the weirdest part about all of that, they didn't notify me that money was sitting there. I had to actively seek it out, you know? So it's interesting to me to know, it'd be interesting to know how many people have done that not knowing, and they have these hundreds and hundreds of pounds sitting there in refunds just waiting for them.
That is crazy. Something new that I've learned today. Wow. Yeah. I will bear that in mind next time round. Amazon UK streaming some of the Premier League games for free without having a subscription. Do you miss football on TV, or what, as the world will call it, soccer?
I don't watch football. I'm not a fan. I mean, I used to many years ago, and technology's come so far since then, I wouldn't even know how to go about watching it these days, honestly. I know you're much more of a football fan than I am, Snoop.
Yeah, I am. I think it's the right step to make. I think a lot of people have missed their sports. I've definitely missed my Formula One. So to be able to watch something for free that everybody can get together and watch sports together, because I don't remember the last time people have kind of, you know, I think there's going to be more people getting together at home and watching a game together, you know, if pubs are kind of closed. So, and if you can watch it for free, I mean, that's a bit of a win-win, because you've got to pay for, obviously, subscriptions for watching this. So I think that's a good thing. And Amazon are definitely wanting to get out there more. I know they do all of the tennis. They had a couple of games. If they can get more games I thought it did really well in the Amazon stream last year with it all, so interesting to see. CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, will go ahead in-person event next year. So they're definitely saying that COVID-19 will be gone and they'll go back to normal. Do you feel the same way, Ben?
It's so hard to say at the moment. It all depends on the vaccine, right?
It does.
The world will have to shift according to that. If by next year, I don't know, say early next year, we don't have a vaccine, even by the end of this year, it really depends. It could be a smart decision to prepare for that, but honestly, it's all down to that vaccine, isn't it?
Cool. Yeah, it will be. It will be. Now we're going to go out about Sony's. The WH-1000 MX3s were popular. They called it the Bose killer. The next version, XM4, upgrades have been leaked in a Walmart product page, saying that it will now support multi-device support and better call quality.
That is what was missing. Yes, yeah. I'm very educated on this topic, man. I'm a recent owner of the Bose 700s. Looking at the M3s, and the only thing that the M3 didn't have going for it was the call quality, the mic quality. And some of the background noise wasn't as good, cutting out the background noise wasn't as good as the 700s. If they are able to improve the mic, the multi-device support, I think I'm the only person that isn't a fan of this. I like my headphones being connected to one device and one device only. I just feel it gets too messy when you're powering on devices and moving things around. It's just messy. I don't like it. But if they're able to retain the audio quality of the M3s, and improve that mic, they will be a true Bose killer.
Okay, interesting to see. Bosch, a random company, but they've made a motorcycle crash detector, an automatic crash detection system that alerts emergency services if you have an accident on your bike. A weird company to do it.
Yeah, then they make drills.
Yeah, they make drills, they make fridges.
Yeah.
So really interesting to see. I know that they have it in cars. Ford in the US have them. I'm not too sure we have them in the UK, but you know, if you're on a motorcycle, they're looking at technology that if you have an accident, it will alert the emergency services. So definitely a good thing. Now this is huge news. Slack video and voice calls working through Amazon Chime. So Amazon Chime is like Zoom, basically. It's Amazon's version of Zoom or Amazon versions of Teams or Skype. This is big. So Chime is fairly new. It's not well known, but the fact that Amazon are coming into that space with Slack, could it be a Zoom killer?
Yeah, I did see an article about this the other day, actually. Amazon and Slack teaming up versus Zoom. Who is Zoom teaming up with? Was it Microsoft? I'm not sure. There's some kind of integration on Zoom side that's happening too. Don't quote me on that, but I did see an article on that. It'd be interesting. I'll have a look into that.
Cool. So NBA, for all the NBA fans out there, they're going to use the audio from NBA 2K for crowd noise. And Sky Sports is planning to use FIFA 20 crowd noise in their Premier League broadcasts. So the crowd is all electronic, not real crowds.
Wait a minute. Well, okay. Right. Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood there. So for the actual games, for real NBA games, they're going to be using
video game crowd noise.
Game audio.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, due to the fact that nobody can attend, right?
Yeah, of course. But
right. Okay, I see.
But that is fairly interesting. Weird.
That's going to be weird. Just knowing that it's I think the people that don't know that will be oblivious. They probably won't think twice about it.
Yeah.
But knowing that, going into watching a game, knowing that, you're just going to be listening out for it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am going to listen out for it. Like, oh, I recognize that noise. So EV battery car maker says their new cells can last 1,000,000 miles. So electronic cars are definitely coming leaps and bounds here now.
Wow, yeah.
Leaps, yeah, like 1,000,000 miles. And that's the course of its lifetime, but that's still a lot of miles, you know?
That is pretty crazy. It'd be interesting to know if any because I'm not too up to date on the electronic car industry. It'd be interesting to know what that stacks up to against the current kind of, you know, the current play of electronic cars. It'd be interesting to know, like Tesla, for example.
Yeah. I mentioned this in the last podcast. Google Maps and Apple Maps will be updating areas with COVID-19 and obviously routing you through areas and stuff like that. I think this is much needed in this day and age. How do you feel about that, Ben? Using your maps and going in different areas?
Yeah, I mean, is the objective there to notify you of crowded spaces so that you can avoid them, or?
Most likely. But it's really cool to see that. I mean, maps being informative on what you can and can't do. I think that's pretty cool.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Apple moving away from Intel using their own chipsets. This was bound to happen at some point. This may be announced on the 22nd of June. What do you think, Ben?
I think it's good, honestly. I think to have that variety out there, it's all down to preference, isn't it? But to have that variety out there and not have everything as this, you know, this similar baseline using Intel processors and whatnot, I think it's good. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
Cool.
Very interesting.
Now, the next news made me laugh. So in the US, somebody used the internet a bit too much and slowed down the internet for the entire neighborhood.
How did they do
due
that?
To excessive use. So basically, let's say you got a fair usage policy, they went over it, and they slowed everybody's internet down.
I wonder what their excessive use contained.
Why not just block one person? Why block everybody in the neighborhood? Yeah. I mean, that's a bit harsh, you know?
It is crazy.
And the last thing I want to end this on is this announcement. I'm excited about it. But Bang and Olufsen is working on Xbox-approved audio accessories, as they've got a deal with the Xbox Series X.
Nice. Wasn't it Bang and Olufsen who done... don't quote me on that. I don't know how to pronounce Olufsen?
Something like that, yeah. B&O is what I call them. Lines.
B&O, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds terrible. B&O, didn't they do Samsung's accessories for the newest Galaxies?
No, that was another company. That was AKG, yes.
AKG.
So yeah, B&O are saying they're making audio devices for the Xbox Series X. But sound quality of that is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've seen these audio companies, especially you see it in cars a lot, don't you? Where you see, I don't know, you see Bose integrated audio in a car or something like that, and it doesn't come off as good as you expect it to. But this is a new generation of consoles, so I'm excited to see what they can do.
Cool. But that...
It'll definitely be interesting.
It's going to be the conclusion of our podcast. We're keeping it nice and sweet. But thank you, Ben, for joining. Hopefully we'll see more of you over the next coming episodes. And to everybody out there, I just want to say thank you for your love and support. For listening to the podcast, it has been amazing with all your feedback, all the new listeners and new areas, reaching out. Thank you so much for your support. If you have any feedback, it's on our podcast page. But all you need to do is basically just email podcast@vibez, vibez.xyz. And we can definitely answer any questions that you've got. But that's it for this week, Ben. Until next time. We'll talk tech next time. So thank you, everybody. And we'll chat to you all soon. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.